problems.
Letters to the President is a documentary about the President of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, known around the world for his verbal attacks on America and Israel. In this film, however, the focus is very much on Ahmadinejad's relationship with the people of his own country, hundreds of thousands of whom send the populist politician beseeching letters. The film's Prague-born Canadian director Petr Lom got remarkably close to the Iranian president, though his uncritical approach has been admonished by some. When I spoke to Petr Lom at the One World Festival, I first asked him, is sending letters to the president a long-standing tradition in Iran?
Apparently, writing letters to the president is a very old Iranian tradition. People would tell me that it was not just writing to the president, but to any political leader. Usually in a village, you'd write to, you know, the head chieftain and write them about your, you know, request or whatever. But someone told me recently, too, that they said the Ottoman sultans used to do that as well. So I don't think it's just particular to Iran.
Would you know how many letters a year Ahmadinejad gets?
Well, they said that 10 million since he's come to power. And they said that all the other previous presidents had got 10 million in total. And he's just got, you know, so he's got as much as everybody else.
You had remarkable access to President Ahmadinejad. How did you swing that?
How did I get the access? Couple reasons. First of all, the connections. Everything works through personal networks in Iran, so you better know somebody. And like I say, this my fixer was personal friends for 10 years with the president's media advisor, so that was, you know, a direct in. And then we were lucky; they liked the project. The project mainly. They said they had 350 requests to make a film about Ahmadinejad. The famous one was Oliver Stone, but most of them were, you know, a straight ahead biopic about him. Or then most people would write about, you know, we're interested in, you know, why he wants to destroy Israel and why he denies the Holocaust and why he wants to build a bomb. So I avoided all that stuff. I read in The Guardian about that he was going to open a call center, a presidential telephone call center. You see it in the film, there's a little bit of it, but that didn't really go anywhere. And then I read about the letters, and then they also, the media advisor told me, yeah, well, he meets with ordinary people every week. So I put that into the proposal, and they liked it. They called the film Democracy in Action.
Did the Iranian authorities follow your work closely? Did they interfere with your work?
No, they wouldn't really. Well, they'd interfere a little bit, but it was more, you had a lot of surveillance, that was obvious. Both, it was made explicit to you that, you know, you're under surveillance. Not to me, to my translator, of course, they're too polite to do that. But it was very clear that, and lots of so-called security checks all the time, whatever that means, right? But, so you had to be very careful. And then there's, you know, Iran is a security state, so when you'd be filming on the street, it'd be normal that you would have different security apparatuses, because there's different kinds. There's the police, there's the Basiji, or the religious paramilitary. They have their own religious security force, and different people would come up to check your permits all the time and ask what you're doing. And then if they didn't like what you were doing, you know, ask you very politely to come with them and have a 2 or 3 hour interview and look at your material together and that sort of thing. People were always polite, though, I must say, very, very polite, and then usually would be quite friendly afterwards and try to be quite helpful. So it's not really the kind of stereotypical black and white impression you'd have of Iran from afar. I mean, I must say that, for example, the president's security guards were the nicest people in the world, the kindest, most helpful, wonderful people. I can't say, you know, enough nice things about them. So,
did the Iranian authorities order you to change your film in any way?
Not really. I mean, I think they probably would have liked to, but, you know, I didn't show them the final version of the film, mainly just for practical reasons that the film only got completed in the middle of January, so it wasn't really time to send it to them even, and not much point then, because I'm outside the country and the film's sort of done. But their main concern, and you have to understand that Iranians are very proud people, and there's also a real sense of awareness of their colonial history, right, and a real sensitivity to that, and a real perception that we've been humiliated constantly and oppressed and treated unjustly by the Western world and the United States, and that extends to their experience about journalists who they believe only come there and want to show negative things, right? So they're very sensitive to that, so my project, I started saying, look, I've come here with an open mind and an open heart, and I would like to make a film that would, you know, create greater understanding for your regime, and that was my intention. So that, you know, they bought that from the beginning, and that certainly was my intention. Unfortunately, when there's lack of access, you have to film what you can, and because it's a documentary, it shows the truth, and a lot of the truth is not something that any politician is going to like very much, particularly in a closed society. So
I know some people are critical of the film. They say that you weren't critical enough.
Yeah.
And I know somebody has called you Ahmadinejad's Leni Riefenstahl,
yeah,
which is a pretty strong charge. What do you say to that?
Well, that's an Israeli journalist, so, you know, it's so... Yeah, I had an interview in Berlin, and he was very friendly, and then you read the interview, and it's like, I didn't say half of those things. How did this come out? But as a filmmaker, the simple answer is, go make your own movie. And then also, there's a lot of naivete about some of the questions you have. You know, in one of the questions and answers at the first screening in Berlin, someone asked me, why didn't you go interview, the homosexuals in Iran? Why didn't you go interview political prisoners who are in jail? And, my response was, well, because I wanted to make a film that's not longer than a short film. And, if you're working in a closed society, you have to accept certain limitations just by crossing the threshold, just by entering the country, and that goes without saying. So these kind of naive questions of why didn't you film people in jail? Like, how am I going to how am I going to do that, right?
One thing we don't see in the film are any nuclear facilities. Yeah. Did you want to film them? Did you try to film them?
Yeah, of course we did. In fact, it was the president, Ahmadinejad, apparently himself suggested that we don't he asked, why are we focusing on this? He said, small issue, right, of letters, and why don't we focus on some of Iran's great achievements? So we said, wonderful, we'll be delighted to go film in Natanz, but the permissions never just came through.
Ahmadinejad is seen around the world as this firebrand, demagogue, populist. How is he regarded by the ordinary people of Iran, in your experience?
Well, I think he's regarded in the way you see in the film as a rather ordinary politician and quite a very successful populist. He's very charismatic with ordinary people that way. And that also leads to those who are really against Iran to people don't like to see that because they'd prefer to have their stereotypes that he's a devil when he's not.
We generally see him wearing the same jacket. It's slightly too big. It's a beige jacket. Has he got many jackets? Does he wear the same one all the time? Do you know?
I don't know. That's the part of the populist shtick. But people, what I do know is that this from his inner circle, that a lot of the advisors, including the vice president, who would tell us that his, simplicity really is a genuine, sincere one. They would tell us stories how his wife brings his lunch to work every day. So is that just a story that you tell the foreigners? I'm not sure, but...
You didn't see the wardrobe with 20 jackets all the same?
No, I didn't. He's a rumpled guy who doesn't particularly care about his appearance, but that's kind of part of the whole revolutionary class. That's right, since the whole Islamic revolution is that you're not supposed to really care about how you dress, you're supposed to be an ascetic, right? So he actually seems to take that seriously, and he rails also against corruption in Iran about, the corrupt clerics and mullahs who don't.